Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Random Chatter. This episode number 171, recorded on March 18th, 2018.
Wait a minute.
Wait.
No. This is supposed to be the movie draft.
No. Well, oh, you know, you're right. But we're not doing that because, well, she's not here. So anything is her fault anyways. And it really is her fault. So those two things kind of mesh up. Lizzie could not be here tonight.
True.
So it is her fault that we're not doing movie draft. I mean, and I was psyched. I was ready to just smoke you guys because I had a plan. Now it's all out the window because it has to do with the alignment of the planets and where the moon is and what phase we're in. It's not going to work next week.
Yeah, so. it kind of threw us. Liz is having an insane technology issue, which is why she hasn't been on with Lou and I here the last couple of weeks. And Lizzie and I have not gotten to do our Pacific Rim episode of Movie Rampage. And the movie draft is getting delayed by a week. It's a little rough here. It's a little rough.
Only because she's supposed to host it, too. Because if it wasn't for that, we would have just went out without her.
She still would have found a way to cheat.
She still would have found a way to cheat. She didn't cheat. Tim, she beat you fair and she beat all of us fair and square. Oh boy. So that is the reason why we were planning on doing our spring movie draft. We'll be doing it now, I assume next week, right? Her computer will be back. She'll be ready to rock and roll.
Should be. That's the story right now, unless her computer tech throws her, curveball. So
we're sticking to it.
We hopefully will be able to confirm everything tomorrow.
Awesome.
That's the plan.
Well, in her stead, we have a familiar voice joining us tonight. We have John. John, how are you tonight?
I'm good, but I thought we were doing the movie draft too.
Yeah, I know.
It's, next weekend. All right.
Next weekend. Next Sunday. Right. I was going to say definitely, but I'm not going to say definitely because you can't just say definitely without
jinxing
a plan.
Things.
We don't really have a plan. So we're planning on it. It'll come soon enough. We got to do it soon because March is running out and April will be here before you know it for the next set of movies. Mm-hmm. And I got to get Infinity War.
So for 97 credits?
No, it takes like 25.
All right.
Sure. Well, you don't have Liz to bid you up. So
Andrea bids people up. We're just not going to tell Andrea that we're looking for.
Andrea will take you to the freaking cleaners, my friend.
Oh well, okay.
And I might not even be on. I'm actually willing to give a pass this time around for newer hosts like John.
Tim, you're just afraid of getting beat again. And beat hard.
You know what? I'm not even like afraid of getting beat anymore because I've never even come close to winning. No, I did get second place once.
Well, you're so used to it now. It should be second nature, Tim. It's like, hey, I get beat all the time. It's fine.
I do. It's true. It's just I'm generally just in it for the alcohol.
But if Tim doesn't play, who am I going to beat? Because I've done my own and I score very badly. So I need Tim to make me look good.
Well, we've all had those drafts where it's like everything aligned and it was like perfect. And then you have the other ones where you're like, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. Who did I upset this week? Because, wow. So,
but
it'll be fun.
But the reason why Liz is hosting is because she won the fall movie draft. Mm-hmm. Not the winter one, because the winter one is still going. So I think it was Lou's good idea to kind of backdate this, going back by two movie drafts.
Exactly,
Finally today stopped making money on the fall movie draft. Because this weekend, Jumanji finally crossed the $400 million domestic threshold. She just stopped making money today.
It's really scary.
Not that it was close.
How many credits did she spend on that again?
Probably.
Wasn't very many.
No.
Was it?
No.
I'm trying to find it here.
It wasn't Justice League.
In the 30s.
I'm trying to find the right one, but I can't seem to find it at the moment.
Yeah, I would have been surprised if it was even in the 30s for it, but
she spent 21 credits on it.
Oh my God.
21 credits. And Eric hasn't updated this in a bit, so I don't know where we're at.
That's crazy.
But you know, obviously she's wow. crushed it. Now the fall,
Elizabeth, you are a cheater. That is the only explanation for this. You cheat. You did it again, and I'm not going to stand for it. And in fact, I might even boycott this movie draft.
Now Tim, that's an easy way of saying I'm not going to play. I don't want to lose. Eric has updated this through the 9th, so we don't have some of the more recent stuff up like last week or so. But Lizzie's crushing it in the winter one too. I mean, she may be doing two in a row here for hosting duties because she's at 416, and wow. the next in line is Andrea at 191.
Wow. And what you have Ready Player One, right?
Yeah, it's not going to do.
So unless Ready Player One is a box office phenom.
Let's see what we have left. We have Love, Simon. These are ones that come out this week. Tomb Raider, Pacific Rim Uprising, Sherlock Gnomes, Midnight Sun, and Ready Player One. So unless I have Sherlock Gnomes.
Andrea has Pacific Rim,
That. She has Pacific Rim, and I have Ready Player One. But, you know. Ready Player One's not going to do you know, more than 100 million.
You would have to have both Pacific Rim and Ready Player One and a whole buttload of good luck to even have a chance.
Lizzie's winning the second one. And we all laugh at her for spending 89 credits
on Black Panther. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, $40 million made it. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, wow. So whoever gets Infinity War. Better pay 100 credits for it. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, that's, the thing is there's going to be a run for it because there's Infinity War, Solo, and Deadpool.
Well, you know, but look at this way too, because you go back to the winter draft, and we had a lot more movies, a lot more big movies, and winter is always a tough time anyways. And look at the credits here. So Lizzie won with 923, and that's not even including all the money that Jumanji made. Eric took second place with 710, and Andrea and Tim were almost tied at 560 and 577. Well, I'll give Tim the edge. He had 5. He beat Andrea, so he beat one person.
Suck it, Andrea. But, you know,
those are all, you know, four people all had above $500 million. In this draft, no one's going to have over 300 besides Lizzie.
Yep.
Interesting.
So that's an interesting tidbit there. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's so funny how things shake out. She may be doing
two drafts in a row. Oh, well. Let's see. What else do we have here? So we have the movie draft, hopefully next weekend. We're going to do a discussion, I think I'm getting sidetracked, about our fears and speculation for the upcoming Ready Player One movie.
Yeah.
Won't be a review. We're going to try to get this done before the movie comes out, which comes out, next Thursday, I guess, right, as we're recording this.
Yes, we don't have a lot of time for that.
No, we don't. It's going to be fun.
It's you, me, Eric. Anyone else?
I don't know. I want to say Andrea. Okay. But I'm not sure.
Okay.
And that'll be fun because, I am nervous. The more I'm seeing about this movie, the more nervous I'm getting. And not just that we're going to get to the same story differently. It's just it's going to be a different story. That's what's upsetting me. So we'll get that discussion when we have that on Getting Sidetracked. And Tim, you got a note in here about our Discord collecting channel, and Kyle's been doing a thing in there for What Did You Get Wednesdays, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
I haven't got anything lately, so I haven't put anything in there. I should dig out some of my old stuff and post pictures that I haven't shared before. But do you want to add anything about? Are we doing something more with this that I don't know about?
No, I just wanted to mention in here. I wanted to give a shout out to Kyle for pulling this together and kind of spearheading it every single week, which is really awesome. It's a great participation thing. You know, folks get to share stuff, and it can be anything, you know, anything that you might collect or be into. While it is What Did You Get Wednesdays, it doesn't necessarily have to be something new. It can be something that you've had for years that you just want to share. And it's been a lot of fun. It's a great, easy thing. I've been able to kind of go over to the cabinet Cabinet Plus, where I have a lot of my Star Wars stuff, and you know, I'll say, oh, hey, this will be a good thing. And I snap a picture with my phone and post it sometime that morning. And it's just kind of neat to see people's collections. And, you know, it generates a little bit of discussion. And it's just a lot of fun. And if you got to see it last week, I posted the picture of the customized Darth Jar Jar action figure that John, I would say that John made it for me, but he didn't.
Did we lose Tim? John, you still here? Can you hear him?
There seems to be something wrong with the audio.
Tim? Oh, he is there. Okay, I'm sorry.
Misa Matt.
You were saying about a custom figure or something? Oh, boy.
So, yeah, you know, that was cool. There's just a lot of neat things. Some folks will post, you know, their most recent take for comics, or it could be action figures or Lego or video games or anything. So really whatever folks are into. So if you are in Discord, you can just go right to the collecting channel. If you're not in Discord, get in there now. You know, you've probably listened to my spiel about Patreon, or if not, just, you know, wait until my spiel at the end of this episode and I'll tell you all about how to get in there.
Now, you know, later on the show, we got a story coming up about Toys R Us, and I'm going to talk about collecting that when we get to that portion, but I'll save that for later.
Yeah.
So what do you guys been watching? Anything new and cool, Tim, anything good lately?
A lot of the stuff we've been on, aside from just kind of getting back into the swing of things with just kind of series that have come back on TV after the Olympics. Voltron Season 5, I've gotten a few episodes into that. So far, really good. Good storyline. Wow,
I am so far behind on Voltron.
It is. It's really just such a good series. None of the seasons have been disappointing at all. They've all been great. You know, this one kind of built. They were all out doing their, all the paladins were out doing their own thing. It took until the third episode for them to actually be together and have a cause to form Voltron, which is like the only bummer. It was like, I watched two episodes. Where the hell is Voltron?
Right, right.
But it was really good and kind of had a nice build to it, nice story arc. And then what I've been watching, particularly the last 2 days, and in fact, right up until before we started recording this, is Jessica Jones Season 2, which I find to be fantastic. I like it better than the first season. It has a foot solidly in film noir, which is a genre that I really like and I want to get into even more. Just terrific storytelling in it. I love the characters. They've obviously brought some favorites back and some real pivotal characters back, and that's just been terrific. So I'm just really happy with that. Oh, and it looks like, because we got the thing in the mail, that we are going to be a Nielsen household.
Really?
Yes. So I'm waiting for the big survey.
I got to talk to people at Nielsen because, wow, they make this thing better.
So I can't wait for that. I think that's a lot of fun. I remember that we got one like at my parents' house when I was a kid once and haven't participated in one since. So I'm pretty thrilled about
it. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, I've never had a chance to participate in the Nielsen thing. I don't know if I talked about it with you, and I don't know if I talked about it in the past, but I got to do one kind of, you know, watch a show early and give them feedback on it. Mm-hmm. And it was a really weird experience, but I don't think it was through Nielsen or not. My wife got the call and she said yes to doing it. And then she couldn't be here the day it was going to air.
Oh yeah.
She's like, you got to watch this and you got to do this. I'm like, okay. And, it was a show called Tucker. It was the mom from Married with Children.
Okay.
And I forget who the kid was. The kid was Tucker, the kid, I guess. And, it was a half hour sitcom or hour drama or whatever it was. It was horrible. And it was one of the things where, you know, I got the call to go through the review with the update with the girl on the phone. And it's like, you know, 1 through 5, 5 being this, you know, and I'm giving it like 1s and 2s. It's just, it was horrible. I mean, just acting was bad. The story was bad. And as I'm going through, there was no reaction from her at all. And we got done. I'm like, so just out of curiosity, I mean, I know you probably can't tell enough, but you know, how have your response been going? Am I kind of in line? Or she goes, yeah, they've been horrible. No one likes this thing. And lo and behold, a few weeks later, it makes the fall lineup. I'm like,
oh,
what? Like, wow. How did this get made to? Wow. It's like, I guess I don't really care about anybody's opinion anyways, but I'm like, wow. Just stunned me.
That's rough.
John, what have you been watching? Anything good?
Watching a lot of Voltron. Blame Tim. Or blame Liz.
I will.
I would say other than that, I'm doing a lot of rewatching after the Rebels season finale or series finale. I went back and I watched the Mortis trilogy and the Clone Wars and a couple of the other Rebels episodes that tied into that just to see some of how the little pieces kind of fit together. And then also doing a lot of Marvel movie rewatching. Went back and watched Ultron. My son and I watched Ragnarok last night. Nice. So just kind of getting ready for Infinity War. Recognized he apparently I've overlooked and he has not watched Doctor Strange yet. So as Doctor Strange came in, he's like, "Who's that?" And I was like, "We're going to have to watch another movie before Infinity War comes out." Missed that one on that. And then while Tim had the Olympics, well, I certainly did watch. This is my Olympic time of season. I am such a huge college basketball fan. So since Thursday, I've really watched almost nothing but basketball. So this is my time of year for sports. And then when it's gone, I care nothing about sports for many, many months.
Cool. Yeah, I don't follow pro basketball, but I will follow some college stuff. And the tournament, of course, is fun to watch because there's just so many interesting stories. I mean, we had the first number one seed go down in the first round ever, I guess, this season, right?
It was a phenomenal game to watch.
It was a blowout too, wasn't it? Wasn't it like 20 points?
It not only was it the first 16 to ever beat a one seed, it was the worst loss by number one seed in any round of the tournament since 1998. So 20 years. So, jeez. I mean, just and the UVA coach, to his credit, the first words out of his mouth in the post-game interview was, "That was a butt whipping. We got our butts whipped." And just and gave all due credit to UMBC. No excuses, no nothing else. And I thought that was very honorable of him.
That's good.
He
did that.
But then you see there are two number two seats that went down today. So, I mean, this is just, you never know what's going to happen. And just keeping alive because I've got it next to me. UMBC UMBC is down one in their next round game. So, I mean, again, this is a 16 seed that's not giving up. So, I mean, that's
awesome.
And that's why I love this time of year because I'm a basketball fan, not at the pro level, but this is just, it's fun to watch these games.
Awesome.
What about you?
Well, glad to hear it. I've been doing a little rewatching myself. We were getting ready for our new Expanse show, The Tight Beam, and I've been rewatching season one and two just to get ready for season three coming up in April, which I'm excited about, so that'll be fun. And I'm also excited that Timeless is back on.
Yes.
The new season started up last Sunday.
Yeah.
Tim, are you watching?
Yes. Yeah, I did. I remember that it was on a few days before enough for me to set my DVR, and then I forgot that it was going to be on. So when it ended up in my DVR, I was pleasantly surprised. I said, "Oh yeah, Timeless." And we sat down, we watched it, and I thought it was a great season premiere. If
I thought so too.
If folks don't recall, this show was like miraculously resurrected. It was canceled after the first season, and then like days later, they said, "Yeah, we're gonna do it. We'll do another one."
Yeah, no, it was definitely a fun episode to get back into.
Yeah.
I kind of had to remember what happened at the end of the first season, and they left it as a pretty good cliffhanger. So having the series end there was like, "Oh, that's not what I want to hear." But yeah, I totally forgot it was coming back on again. I knew it was coming up, and my DVR just keeps recording stuff I like, which is awesome. In fact, something else I'm going to start watching into my sports time comes up now because Formula One season starts this coming weekend.
Nice.
And even though Formula One has switched from, I think it was the NBC network to the ABC network, it's still recording, which I'm like, oh. Awesome. Comcast and Xfinity did a good thing, and they know I want to follow Formula One, so they just switched over, and I'm recording now on, I think most of them are on ESPN now. So, I'm excited about that coming up. But, Timeless was awesome. I was glad to see that was back on. I watched it this morning, and I'm looking forward to the new episode recording tonight. So I may watch that after we get done recording.
Nice.
Let's see, box office updates. Now, I can't remember if we talked about this only in the bonus content or the bonus. Tim, what were you calling it?
The bonus segment.
Also just known as session, BS. Like,
session. Yeah, I mean, session didn't sound like bonus session. No, okay. Yeah, so we talked about this on BS, I think it was, but Black Panther in its fifth week at number one. I misjudged it again. Should have had that in my fantasy movie league this week, but I did not. And Tim, you had put in here in notes, I guess this is from Screen Rant. They had that this is the first time since Avatar that a film has had 5 weekends, not the whole week, but the weekends, mm-hmm. In the number one position. And I'm looking at Box Office Mojo, and two other movies did the same thing more recently than Avatar. And that was The Last Jedi and Rogue One. Both were 5 weekends at number one. But still an impressive feat. I mean,
yeah.
5 weekends. And Black Panther is the first one of those movies that has done the full 5 weeks. You take the whole week worth of revenue. They're at number one there as well, too. Whereas I'm pretty sure both Last Jedi and Rogue One only did 2 weeks worth of the whole week at number one. So that's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real impressive. We do certainly expect to see Black Panther get unseated next week with Pacific Rim Uprising coming out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. But the other thing I was looking on here too, and I'm just trying to pull it up here again. It's going to move up in the overall standings for all time movies pretty quickly here, I think, because mm-hmm. It's close to. Who is next above it on the list? I was trying to get there real quickly. All time domestic. Yeah, so it's at number 7 right now with 605. The Last Jedi is at number 6 with 619. It's going to blow by that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Easily. The Avengers, it was 623. It's going to blow by that for domestic. Jurassic World at 652 and Titanic at 659. I think it's going past all three of those. It's going to be at least number two.
It has a shot at Titanic, I think. It's
well, I mean, 659, it's only, what, 54 million away? Yeah. It made 27 this week.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to be close.
I mean, it'll go down to 20 next week-ish, maybe 19, yep. 20. It's going to be tough, though, because I think with... You know, certainly the Pacific Rim audience is going to bring Black Panther down quite a bit. We're going to see a high 50% drop.
Yeah, and that's expected week over week. But I mean, it's going to go another 4 or 5 weeks in the theaters.
Oh yeah, yeah. It'll basically stay in the theaters until Infinity War.
Probably
that little film.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's not going to hit Avatar at 760 or The Force Awakens at 936, but I think it's going to be our number three movie of all time, domestic gross. That's pretty impressive.
That's insanely impressive.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Let's see, where were we here? Now, debuting in number two this week was Tomb Raider. It didn't do what I thought it was going to do, so $23 million for it. I can only imagine... I can only imagine what this movie's about because I haven't heard of it before it showed up on the Fantasy Movie League and blew me out of the water. It made $17 million this week.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is even about.
I mean, we hadn't talked about it. We hadn't.
Was it in the movie draft?
I don't
in the draft?
Think so.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I was going to say because I don't even remember it coming up there.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, who's in this movie? Let's see.
Probably Liz. That's why she hasn't been here the last few weeks.
She's been filming and working out. I can only imagine. Yeah, not a huge cast. Michael J. Finley, Brody Rose. Yeah, okay. Trace Atkins. Okay. Yeah. How this movie made $17 million is beyond me. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, good for it. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. A Wrinkle in Time, kind of disappointing. $16.6 million for week number two, bringing its total to $61 million. And Love, Simon, $11.5 million in its first week. I think out of this bunch, I mean, Tomb Raider and A Wrinkle in Time are the two biggest surprises to me as far as where they went.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't really perform.
Which is nowhere. Yeah. I mean, I would have thought that... Wrinkle in Time was going to do way better than it's been doing. I mean, $61 million in the second week, I expect it to be over 100 by now.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Oh, well. See, that's why I'm not doing well in a movie draft. Tim, as you mentioned, next week we have Pacific Rim Uprising. I'm excited about that. I did get an email last week about going to see it at Madison Square Garden. Last week there was an early screening for anybody who swiped into the Uprising panel at Comic-Con last year.
Oh, that's cool.
And I think the first 10 people to respond via email were going to get passes to go see it. I'm like, oh. Like, I saw the email later today. I'm like, I'm sure I'm not number 10. It's been like 4 hours since I got the email.
Oh, that's cool, though.
But that would be cool to go see it in the theater at Madison Square Garden. That would be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Sherlock Gnomes and Unsane are also coming out next week. Unsane looks pretty interesting. That's going to do well at the box office. Being a horror movie, they usually do well in the first week. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's see. And then upcoming, I'm still looking forward to Ready Player One and being disappointed. So we'll see what happens there. In April, coming up, see Rampage. It's the Rock movie, yep. Right? With the large animals. That'll be interesting.
Based on the video game, the 80s video game.
Mm-hmm. Really? I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. With the large lizard dinosaur thing, the King Kong type ape, and the
I don't remember that.
What's the other critter?
Wolf?
Yes. Yeah. Like a wolf okay. thing. Yeah.
See, Truth or Dare. I don't think I remember that one. What's mm-hmm. that one about, Tim? Do you remember offhand who's in that? What that's about?
Nope.
I bet there's some questions that are being asked, and Truth or Dare is the answer, so it'll be interesting. Super Troopers 2, Traffic, and of course, Infinity War coming out.
Never heard of it.
And oh my God, we'll talk about that in a little bit. You heard us mention the movie draft. We are doing our next update probably next week. We're saying probably now instead of definitely, but hopefully we'll get that out pretty soon. And of course, the Fantasy Movie League, a lot of fun to play. If you want to join that, you can go to randomchatter.com/FM invite FML invite and join us there and, you know, kick my butt every week because I'm dead last. see, discussions. Oh, so we had some sad news. We don't cover a lot of deaths on this show, but this one, I think, was kind of important. Stephen Hawking passed away at age 76. He did this on March 14th, I think was the date. It was Pi Day.
Yeah.
Which is also the same date that Einstein was born.
Yes.
Thought that was interesting that there's a little coincidence there between those two. But there was a lot of outpouring of sympathy and everything on Twitter. Mm-hmm. The cast of
Big Bang Theory
did a thing.
Yeah.
Because he'd been on the show a couple of times, and that was pretty special.
Yeah, you know, incredible guy with just this amazing mind and an ability to think about things in a way that most people can't. It's amazing that he could, you know, it was all based in science, but he looked at things very abstractly. And so he could kind of bridge this gap that a lot of folks, you know, either you have a real scientific mind or you have a really abstract mind, or you're like me and you're just dumb enough to not understand either one. But this guy was just able to kind of build that bridge and just do amazing things. And yeah, because of Big Bang and other things, he kind of really got into the pop culture lexicon. And, you know, they had the movie about him, which was, 2 years ago, I think, the biopic on Hawking. Yeah. You know, incredible guy. He had ALS, I believe. Or yes, cerebral palsy.
I don't know.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Basically, at least as far as from what I read, succumbed to essentially the illness that it just, you know, finally took its toll on his body. So, Yeah, it's a huge loss, I think, to the scientific community and you know, the greater world beyond that.
And the thing was, I mean, there was something on him on the other day, one of the news networks were doing it, where he was diagnosed with this at like age 21 or 22, somewhere around there. And they had given him like 2 years to live at the time.
Yeah. Clearly
which is amazing. Yeah, he definitely clearly beat that. I do feel bad that I never read, you know, the book A Brief History of Time. I think I'm going to go back and read that now. Mm-hmm. Kind of puts a lot of the stuff that he did into layman's terms so pea brains like me can understand it. But it'll be interesting to finally read that, I think. So.
Yeah.
So I had to start the show on a down note, but we will move on from there. No more down note. we talked last week about Toys R Us and the impact that internet selling has done, and now it's confirmed that they definitely are filing for liquidation and they are gone. I stopped at my local Toys R Us, the one that was near me that was closing before the whole liquidation thing, And I walked in, and I hadn't been there maybe 2 weeks. It looks like a bomb went off in the place.
Really?
I mean, I think the streets of Beirut back in the 80s look neater than this place did. And of course, I'm like everybody's looking for a gem that I can steal for, 80% off. But of course, all the Lego stuff was gone, moved out. And when it went there 2 weeks ago, it wasn't liquidation yet. There was still a bunch of stuff on sale, but none of the Lego stuff is on sale.
Yeah.
Well, except for the stuff they really overloaded with, like all those figures, the billable figures. And the only one they had left, they probably had 100 copies of the Jin Erso one.
Okay.
I'm like, I don't want that. But yeah, I got a bunch of them. And of course, they had a bunch of Zuvios swinging on the peg still.
Of course they did.
You know, there really wasn't much else that I was saying, hey, it was a good buy. They did have a lot of Star Wars books there. I was surprised about that. They had a lot of Star Wars books that were on sale, 30% off. So I might go back and pick up some of them, some of the visual guides and stuff. So I might do that.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, sad. Toys R Us is gone totally now. I mean, I don't know when the final closing date is, but all the signs there said, all sales final, no returns.
Yeah.
And the line was out the door. I mean, it would probably been like an hour wait to get something there tonight.
Wow.
And they had one line feeding all the registers and probably had 10 registers open. It was amazing. If they did that kind of business normally, they'd still be in business.
Yeah, I guess, exactly. But,
yeah. See, Danny Boyle's confirmed for Bond 25. Tim, you must be happy about that. We talked about that a little while ago.
Yeah, which is why I really didn't link it to anything. It's just that's kind of, the news. We really discussed it 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really happy with the choice. I think Danny Boyle is he's a good actor. He does some really fun and interesting things. And Bond should be fun and interesting. Bond should be something that's always a little bit different. And so for this big event that, Bond 25 should be, I think he's a really good fit for it. So I'm happy. I think we'll be good.
Yeah, no, I think so too.
I don't see a downside at all.
John, are you a Bond fan like Tim is, or are you just kind of?
I like Daniel Craig as Bond. I would not say I'm a huge Bond fan. I like what they've been doing recently with the series, but watched them when my parents were, so I watched them growing up, but I wouldn't say, like, to me, I saw this and I was like, that's great, move on to Infinity War.
It's funny, people are either really big Bond fans or they're just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah,
which is surprising because there's really no middle ground there. It's like,
it's true.
I'm not a huge Bond fan like Tim is, but I'm definitely a fan. I mean, I'm definitely going to see the movies opening weekend, and I've been a fan ever since my first Bond movie in the theater, Moonraker.
Okay.
And, I still go every weekend, every time it comes out, opening weekend. So, but yeah, now there are bigger things out there coming up in movie land.
Especially with opening weekends.
Yeah. I mean, we had a little movie drop, a little trailer drop last week, right? It was Friday this dropped, I think.
Yeah.
For Infinity War. And I had forgotten about it. I knew it was coming. I heard the teaser about coming on, the next day. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll take a look at it. And I don't think I saw it until Saturday morning. I went, oh, my God. How did I not see this yesterday? This trailer was amazing.
Yes.
This is one of the most exciting movie trailers I've seen in a long time. It was riveting. And I actually haven't taken the opportunity to go to really do a frame by frame thing with it, but yeah, I've watched it like three times, and I see something new every single time I see it because it's just that big in terms of its presence. It's not that it's a particularly long trailer. It's just, it's big. There's a lot in it.
Well, that was a thing too. It was just that there was so much there, I thought. And it was such a better trailer than the first one, or the teaser, whatever it was we had before. I saw the first one. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm looking forward to it. It's a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
But this one, I'm in the seat going, I got to watch that again and again.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see this movie.
And what I liked about it, unlike a lot of trailers, I don't feel like this gave a lot away of the movie. I mean, you see so many trailers where you're like, oh, you've just showed me all of the funny parts, all of the action parts, all of the good parts. This was the nice combination of going through where at the end of it, you're like, Yeah, I'm in. I mean, I went and bought my tickets right after it came out. and I watched it and clicked that link and moved forward. But I also feel like it wasn't a spoiler trailer for me.
No.
Right. They showed you a lot of stuff coming up that you can expect to see in the movie.
Exactly.
But they didn't show you a lot of the action stuff. They didn't show you a lot of the real, you know, oh, that's a pivotal point in the movie thing. No, it's like, I don't know how this is all going to play together. I don't know what the story's going to be, but man, I'm on board for the ride.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, they showed you some of the encounters. They showed you, you know, like a battle scene. Well, you know, there's going to be battle scenes in it. Okay. And you can pick apart some of this stuff in there, like Hulkbuster and that kind of thing. They showed, you know, obviously that we are having the characters from all the different films come together. So folks like the Guardians are going to be meeting the Avengers, and they give you a little comedic clip of that between Star-Lord and Stark, which I thought was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, that was good.
Really great moment. And it's going to be funny to see how those two guys who are, they're kind of, you know, they're the equivalent in their two, you know, mini universes. They're the equivalent of each other, and it's just going to be so much fun to see the two of them interact. I'm just looking forward to seeing how all of these characters interact with each other. It looks like we're going to get that little bit of a backstory on Gamora, particularly with her being raised by Thanos.
By Thanos, yeah.
Which is really cool. And if you've read the comic, you know that story. I think it's great that they're going to do that reveal in this. And in fact, Gamora narrates this trailer.
But my fear with this movie is there's so much they're trying to do. Unless this movie's like 4 hours long, I'm going to be disappointed because there's too much there. They're not going to be able to give any part of this story justice. And we're going to be going, tough. Yeah, we're going to get there going, okay, that happened all kind of fast. You know, I want more detail because, I mean, originally this was going to be two movies, wasn't it? Wasn't that the plan?
I still think it's going to be because Avengers 4, and we talked about this a few weeks ago. Avengers 4, they're not saying is an Infinity War Part 2, but they're saying it's going to be the aftermath of Infinity War. So,
yeah,
it's still a big story arc. So it's still really, to me, it's still a two movie event. This I've heard, and I didn't have a chance to verify it. I think someone in Discord mentioned that this is going to be 2.5 hours. So it's a sizable movie. You know, Last Jedi was 2.5 hours. That's a sizable movie. They can cover a lot in it. I agree. If it was 4 hours, it could be 4.5, 5 hours. I would be totally in. Give me a potty break in the middle. And I'm good to go, but you know.
So you know the story that actually you linked to for this part of the show was the fact that it's already breaking box office records. In fact, on let's see, like they have a 24-hour record for tickets sold. So that, you know, it's got the number one selling for 24 hours right now. But they did it in 6 hours.
Yeah.
So you broke the 24-hour record in 6 hours. That's just amazing. Okay, so 1/4 of the time to do what other movies took 24 hours to do. I mean, wow.
And the record they broke was Black Panthers.
I was going to say, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense because that was just set. I forgot about that.
So that is incredible momentum that has the folks at Disney and Marvel just smiling and smiling and taking this one to the bank. They're really happy with this because they just had two movies in a row break each other's record.
The folks at DC are going, what the hell do we do now?
I think that Black Panther broke Justice League's record because I think Justice League had it for a period of time, and then Black Panther like destroyed that record. And then obviously if Infinity War broke Black Panther's record in 6 hours, that is freaking insane. Yeah. 6 hours.
Right. So what did, well, okay. No, let me ask this question instead. What do we think prediction wise for opening weekend? I mean, it set this record in 6 hours for 24 hours for online sales. What's it really going to do opening weekend?
What did Black Panther do?
I was looking that up.
John and I are thinking alike on this.
Okay, so Black Panther.
Black Panther did 292, pretty basically round up 291 and change.
I saw 202 actually.
Do you saw 202?
Opening weekend, yeah. Maybe it was a holiday weekend versus just a regular weekend.
Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, do we dare consider that Infinity War could break 300 in its opening weekend?
Oh God, I don't know. That's a tall ask, isn't it?
Well, is it a holiday weekend?
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either. Yeah,
it's the last weekend of April, which is nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, so opening weekends all time. Force Awakens is 247. And The Last Jedi was 220. Jurassic World was 208. Marvel's Avengers was 207. And Black Panther ran at top five was 202. Is it going to top 247? I think it's going to be above 247. I think it's going to set the new record.
$280 million opening weekend. About
this,
and
this has been
10
years with the Marvel movies building towards this. I just don't know where to put it. I mean, I almost wanted to say 300 like Tim first said, but I don't know. John, what do you think? 275. If we do prices right rules, I can say 240. And I'll beat you guys if I didn't hit your numbers.
I was going to go 275.
I'll bid $1. $1.
$1. $275.
No, you know, I'm going to stick my neck out and say 300. I like Tim's original thought. I would say 300. It'd be nice to see when we do that. I don't know if it's going to, but. wow.
I'm excited as all hell about it. I think it's. I haven't gotten my tickets yet. John, you got yours. You're bringing your kids, right?
I that's what I was about to say is I think this one has, you've got building off Black Panther and the kind of crowd diversity you saw with that. You're going to draw some of them in with the prominence Black Panther and Wakanda play in this mm-hmm. one. I also think you get, you know, a bit more of the fringe audience. My 12-year-old daughter is not a Marvel fan. She didn't want to go see Black Panther. She, whenever we put one on, she loosely wants to watch. She asked me to buy tickets for opening weekend for this one.
Sure.
Her friends were talking about it. And I was like, well, duh, I'm obviously buying opening night weekend tickets for it. But I mean, the fact that like she was the one who approached me about it astounded me. And I think shows some of the kind of crossover even further that this one's going to get. So, I mean, monster numbers.
Yeah.
A lot of it's going to be the you know, number of theaters.
Theater that, you know, is worth their weight in salt. It's already put an order in for this. So I think it's going to be playing on as many screens as they possibly can.
It's going to be insane. I definitely have to get my tickets here in the next couple of days. I'm looking forward to it. I love the opening nights of these big movies. I think they are so much fun. Just the vibe that you get in the theater. It's almost like going to a mini con, you know, because I mean, that's mm-hmm. where really the mega fans, the real dedicated fans are. And you also have a lot of folks who are legitimately great fans who either can't make it because of some sort of scheduling thing or don't want to deal with the crowd. And those are obviously legit things.
Right.
But that opening night, you know that you have a lot of folks who have said, hey, I'm going to get a sitter, or I'm going to bring my kids, or I'm going to take the night off from work. I'm going to save up for it because, hey, you know, movies aren't cheap now, especially if you are bringing mm-hmm. the family.
Yeah.
And I don't mind dealing with the crowd. You know, so, I mean, folks are making these conscious decisions to go to these things. And the theaters are trying to step up a little bit, too, to kind of embrace the fact that this is an event.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just a bunch of people lining mm-hmm. up and then we're going to usher them into the theater like a, you know, cattle going to slaughter.
Yeah.
So they're trying to embrace it. I mean, it's, you know, my little theater, they do a couple things, but I know obviously the big theaters do a lot more, and it's just an exciting thing. And, you know, you can stand in line and it's like, you see people that you know, or at least people that you recognize in the community. It's like, oh, hey, you know, you're a big fan. Oh, that's the person who, you know, works at the bank that I go to. That's the person who, you know, I see here or there or wherever. So yeah. It's just cool. They're just great events, mm-hmm. and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I got to get my tickets to them. I just looked at my theater near me, and the fan opening night one at 6 p.m., there's two seats left in the front row, and I'm like, nah, I don't think so. So they'll have the regular non-fan event ones that they'll probably have plenty of seats for, but
yeah.
Oh, I have to get that. I got to get that. I get Ready Player One tickets. I'm behind. I got to get stuff done.
So when I walk out on Thursday night around 10 p.m., shoot you guys all the spoilers.
Yeah, my phone will be off anyway, so I won't worry about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, I should be getting into the 7 o'clock one, so I expect that I'll be seeing it at the same time you are.
All right. We can talk on the way home.
Yeah. I'm still going to be like processing this and my mind's going to be going nuts.
Oh, absolutely. And meanwhile, it'll be 10 p.m. and I'll put my kids to sleep and be like, hey, go to bed. You got to go to school tomorrow.
Should
good parent.
Should we talk about a thing, John?
What? You guys going to hijack the show on me now?
Sure, Tim. Let's talk about a thing. I don't know.
Okay, Tim, what's this thing you want to bring up?
All right, well...
I'm looking for seats for a movie anyway.
Oh, so. Now I know a thing he's talking about, and I should have known this.
So, well, John, Liz, and I are working on a project. We are going to be starting an MCU podcast right here for Random Chatter Network. Because Liz and I needed to be on more podcasts.
Right.
Because we clearly had nothing else to do. And John's been like, hey, I need a home. So, you know, so he's going to have his official start as a full timer. We're actually hoping to sneak in, although, you know, the clock is ticking. We're like 40 some days here, I think.
Liz has to get a working computer.
Yeah, that's job right. Number one. We are going to get in an episode. We are dedicated to getting in an episode prior to Infinity War. Mm-hmm. I would love to say two, but I'm not going to push my luck. We will definitely get in one episode before Infinity War. Mm-hmm. And then what I would certainly like to do is to have our a reaction episode that we do like really soon after. So whether it's, mm-hmm. you know, probably not that night. But maybe that weekend we'll, you know, pull the three of us together and do a reaction episode to it.
If you were dedicated, you guys would do it in the parking lot via Skype on your cell phones after the episode. Come on.
I know.
I can guarantee two guest hosts, Tim, on the way home.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure your kids would love to be on. You know, and obviously we're going to do we're going to talk about it here on Random Chatter as well. And it will probably get talked about on at least half of the network's podcasts. I can guarantee it'll get a mention on Echo Base. I can guarantee it'll get a mention on Dispatches from the Front.
Probably.
Even though the Infinity War has nothing at all to do with like Battle of the Front. The Bulge,
that'd be a good
it's
one
gonna
to work
freaking
in.
Happen. Because Tom and I tend to like meander into Star Wars. No. Band of Brothers.
It works really well with World War II. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, that'd be fun to listen to. I can't wait to hear you guys talk about all the MCU stuff and get your thoughts on Infinity War, because I'm sure we're all going to have our own thoughts.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Let's see. Moving right along. Another trailer dropped this past week. Fantastic Beasts. Two, Crimes of the Grindelwald trailer came out. That was pretty interesting. It didn't give anything away, really. It was just really kind of just fluff and imagery. But yeah, it's like we're back full on in Harry Potter world,
and
right?
And that's, I think, all you needed from that trailer was to get to me. I saw it and I was like, I'm in Harry Potter world. I'm happy. When's the movie coming out?
Yeah,
that was my first thought too, John. It was just like, you know, okay. They finished the Harry Potter stuff, and that was like they were getting out and were never coming back. And Fantastic Beasts was like dipping a toe in the water to say, do we want to try this again? And now it's like a full-on adult version of Harry Potter. Absolutely. This is what happens after you graduate Hogwarts, and you're living in the real world amongst, you know, the everyday people, and
they're called muggles.
What the? I know. I was trying not to be that kind of geeky guy, but yeah, you know, and how they interact. So I'm like, this is awesome. This is everything I wanted. That wasn't about the kids aspect of Harry
John
Potter.
John is a huge Potter fan, so I know he's really excited about this. Go ahead.
It made me want to go back to Universal. And the
okay,
remind me, just the experience of walking in and feeling that I'm in the world of Harry Potter. I mean, watching it, just all the feelings, all the nostalgia for that was like, I mean, was right ready to jump back in.
Yeah.
And I mean, nice. To me, this is also one that's a family event for my kids as well. I mean, they've read all the books, sure. Seen all the movies, read the Curse of the something child, whatever the Broadway play one was.
Yep.
But yeah, absolutely. They saw the trailer too, and same thing. We're like, and when's that coming out? Next week?
Right.
It's like, not for a while. But that'll definitely be an opening weekend one for us.
Yeah. I'm cool. Definitely a fan. I like the first Fantastic Beasts movie, which I think I disclosed on Random Chatter a few weeks ago that I like just recently watched for the first time. The main Harry Potter series, I've seen those movies tons of times. But Fantastic Beasts just saw recently. I am really excited about this next movie. It's awesome that it's I like the New York City, the 20s New York City thing that they did. With the first Fantastic Beasts film, but I am really excited that it's bringing this movie back to the familiar territory of Hogwarts and
mm-hmm.
bringing in some folks that we know. So I think that's really cool.
This is, okay, now I know where we are. It's just awesome to see that kind of imagery and know right where you mm-hmm. are and know this is coming back. So yeah, mm-hmm. I'm very excited. Speaking of being very excited, The Rock has announced two new film projects. We've talked before about how the Rock movies are just fun, and he brings a certain aspect to movies that is just both serious and action oriented, as well as he wants to have fun, and it shows in every movie he does.
Yeah.
So one's a more serious project, one's more of a Disney thing. I don't mean to say Disney isn't serious, but you know, it's Disney versus, you know, action-oriented, you know, macho kind of thing. So the first one, Red Notice, this is spy-ish type movie. I mean, I read the review of this. I didn't realize it was a bidding war to get this movie, but
it was apparently a big deal.
Is this based on a novel or something that I didn't know about? Or okay. So he's an Interpol agent, I guess, and he's after a famous art thief. And I guess the title comes from Interpol's one of eight levels of... I guess kind of the equivalent of putting your picture up on the post office wall of, you know, how wanted you are. But I guess Red Notice is like the highest level, you know, red, you know, kind of portray that, I guess, being bad. But I had no idea what this is about, but it sounds interesting, but it also sounds very familiar. Like it's going to be, you know, James Bond-ish, or it's going to be, you know, Mission Impossible type, you know, esque type mm-hmm. stuff going on. But I hope The Rock brings something kind of new to this genre, and it does something totally different. So it'd be kind of fun.
And it's neat to see in the article that I was looking at for this, they mentioned a lot of the individuals who are in on this project. And I don't know if it's sheer coincidence. It seems to be too many people for it to be coincidence. It seems that The Rock kind of has a group of folks that he works with.
Yeah.
So there are folks in the production direction writing team who he has worked with in a lot of his recent films. So there's been success, obviously huge success in Jumanji. You know, there was Central Intelligence, which I thought was a really funny movie. There are folks who work with him on Rampage, which, as we mentioned, is going to be coming out soon. And Skyscraper coming out soon. So he has this group of people that he's working with, and it's great because they're comfortable with each other, and they know what that relationship is. So they don't have to do that kind of awkward dance at the middle to or at the beginning to get a movie up and running.
Yeah,
and, no, and that's exciting.
Pretty interesting.
That's real exciting.
The next one he has signed up for is a Disney movie, as you said, Jungle Cruise. And this is a movie based on another ride at Disney. Yeah. So I'm like, usually it's the other way around, but this is the second time they're going back to that well. I mean, they did really well with Pirates of the Caribbean. That did, what, four movies or three at least?
There was another one, too, that did not do well, and I don't remember what the heck it was.
Well, I think they all did well financially.
At least three, yeah. They
weren't received all that well. But anyways, so now Jungle Cruise, they're looking at this as another thing like Pirates of the Caribbean. They're gonna milk this for all it's worth, which if it works, it works, you know? I don't remember the Jungle Cruise ride at Disney.
I haven't been to Disney in forever, so I couldn't tell you.
John?
This is where we need Liz, because she was at Disney probably days ago.
She would know. Her Instagram lives at Disney. Every picture is from Disney.
Yeah,
So we'll see what that's all about. I don't know if there's a release date on the Disney one. I didn't read the whole article here.
There is not. I hit up a few articles. I looked at IMDb. There doesn't seem to be a release date yet. One of the articles I was reading on it, and interestingly enough, that it was also from a commentary that I heard recently, people talking about this. It seems that kind of the whole motif or the vibe that they're going to have is real similar to The African Queen.
Okay.
Which is a great older movie, Humphrey Bogart, Katharine Hepburn. It is, I think, one of Bogart's better movies. It is fantastic. It's actually a fun movie, and it's this real interesting dichotomy between Bogart, who plays this kind of grizzled boat captain of this just, you know, really small, tiny boat, doing his own thing early in World War II, and Katharine Hepburn, who is this kind of, you know, fairly highfalutin kind of person. And the two of them coming together is just very interesting. So I think with this one, with Jungle Cruise, you've got The Rock and you've got Emily Blunt, who's already signed on to it. So I think that there's some really good potential with this.
Yeah, but Emily Blunt's coming off of her other Disney project, right? She's going to be starring in Mary Poppins Returns. So she'll have done some things with Disney already. And it could be a good fit. I mean, it'll be fun to see these two acting together because they're both good actors.
One of the things of note, I don't remember if we talked about it earlier here or in the BS. It was years ago that The Rock signed up for this little role in another movie studio, Black Adam. DC still has not determined when they're going to make the Black Adam movie. You have The Rock, who wants to play the role. The man makes blockbusters. It's just, to me, another example of DC not being able to get out of their own way to make movies. And sure, not a lot of people know who Black Adam is. It doesn't matter. It's The Rock.
Right.
Let him go and make the movie.
You make good movies and you promote them well. I mean,
yeah.
Movies that you didn't think people were going to go see, people are going to go see. I mean, Marvel's done it several times.
I mean, I just went and looked up what we were talking, and there's still not a date associated with Black Adam. It's now rumored he may get introduced in a Suicide Squad 2 down the line. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's been years since he's been tied to that role, and they just can't get something put together.
Yeah, it's just kind of bizarre.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Okay, Tomb Raider. So we already said it didn't do what we thought it was going to, at least what I thought it was going to do in the box office. It's getting some criticism. And Alicia Vikander isn't hot enough to be Lara Croft. Is that a thing?
Yeah, there's unfortunately... Yeah, have certainly seen a lot of it in social media and such where, first of all, I think a lot of folks are comparing her to Angelina Jolie. And basically what it's coming down to is boobs. There seems to be a segment of people who want to see the
hyper-sexualized version of Lara Croft. And, you know, they're not getting it. And, you know, while I certainly don't mind seeing a curvy woman on the screen, you know, Alicia Vikander, I think, is very suitable for this particular role. She is very fit. Unfortunately, I did not get out to see the movie this weekend. And I've heard overall that it is a good movie. I haven't heard a lot of people saying it's been a great movie, but I've heard a lot of people say it is a good movie. I think they're just disappointed that it's a retelling of the first Angelina Jolie movie again.
I think it's kind of retelling the first and second kind of tied together. They threw some stuff in from both.
Yeah.
And people are a little disgruntled about that. But yeah, the whole thing about her not being, you know, Angelina Jolie, I don't get that. I really don't. Because she, from the trailer, she looks like she's doing a very competent role. A very competent job in that role. And I don't think you have to, I mean, if you're going to make changes based on what you want, and they made several changes based on what the story was in the video games to what they put it on screen now. If you're going to make changes, you can make any changes you want. And, you know, the actress playing it doesn't have to fit the mold of what they've drawn. In fact, you know, when you put things in a either a comic book or a video game, most of the time you're not going to find a physical portrayal of that character, you know, that can really do justice to what they've drawn in the comic book, per se.
I mean, look at Hugh Jackman as Wolverine versus the comic Wolverine. They're nothing the same yet. Actually, I'm probably sure there was some criticism that he wasn't, you know, short enough, stocky enough. To me, this is just a stupid. She's not Angelina Jolie, nor should she be.
Right.
Right. Yeah. We didn't need a cookie cutter of Angelina Jolie for them to reboot the series with. Let's give it to a young actress who is still very suitable for the role. And aside from this particular criticism, the things I have heard about Alicia Vikander in this role have all been good.
Yeah.
That she's done very well. So, you know, you've got a segment of folks who are, you know, reacting superficially to this, which is unfortunate. But, you know, I guess that's how some people are.
It's unfortunate. It really is. And I mean, she's done some good stuff in the past. I mean, she was in Ex Machina. I loved her in that. I'm looking forward to seeing this. I'm definitely going to see it, whether it's in a theater at home. I don't know yet. Depends on my timing. But I just want to see it. Now, the tomato meter is kind of low on it. It's got a 49%. But the audience score is high. It's got 70% on the audience score. So that's a good sign. Now, the other criticism about this, you know, you take it for what it's worth, and it looks like it's kind of warranted to have this. There's not enough women in the film, and they've changed some of the characters in the way they told the story, to the point where they took out some strong female characters, which in this day and age, I mean, it's one thing to write a story that doesn't have, you know, strong female characters or people of color in the movies, but it's another thing to take them out a movie once it's been, you know, this is kind of canon. You know, what's your take on this, guys, about how they've left some stuff out that probably should have been in there? John, you have any thoughts on that?
Not having seen the movie yet, it's kind of hard to judge on that. I see it. My first reaction is, and Tim, or no, I'm sorry, Lou, you said it, you know, between the critic score and the fan score on the Rotten Tomatoes, if they change things and moved them around, absolutely. I don't like it when they go the other way around and, you know, take, you know, male characters or established characters and significantly change them one way or another. So if they did that, certainly criticism warranted, but without having seen it, I'm not sure I'd even catch it because I don't know the video game. So to me, it wouldn't have been an issue not having that background with it.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, for me, I'm not familiar with the source material, but it is, you know, the article that I read here basically said that aside from a couple of incidental appearances of women, of other women, aside from Lara early on in the movie, it's basically Lara Croft and a bunch of guys.
Right.
And we saw this, the same thing in the Angelina Jolie series as well. And, you know, it just kind of seems a little crazy. I don't know why Hollywood is having a hard time moving past some of this stuff. I mean, really, is it that difficult to say, hey, we wrote in, you know, these three or four characters and, well, they're all guys. Well, hey, one of them is black. Well, so that's good. Okay, fine. But why can't you make one of them or two of them female?
Right.
I simply don't get it. Unless there's a particular driving point for a character to be a male, then why not just, you know, have a bag with a whole bunch of different descriptors and labels in them and shake the bag at casting and pull one out and say, oh, Asian woman. Okay, cool.
But, you know,
shake it again. Oh, black guy. Okay, cool. You know, let's just have that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that diversity. It doesn't have to be a white dude.
Right.
Says the white dude talking to two other white dudes.
Exactly. But, you know, in this day and age, though, I mean, it makes sense to do it where you have more diversity in your casting. Especially with as hypersensitive as the internet is and fandom in general is, it would behoove you to be a little more proactive and bring in more diversity in your casting. But to take roles and leave them out that were part of the source material, and I played the original Tomb Raider back in the day, but I wasn't paying attention to the story all that much, to tell you the truth, when I did it. But if I was and I'm interested in this kind of stuff, if that was me, and I went to see a movie that took characters that were big parts of the story that were female and female of color out, I'd be like, what? Mm. Why did you do that? It doesn't make sense. I mean, if you have that established character, that established person there, why do it? Now, in this case, I mean, they're building on two movies that are already out there. So the people that were familiar with this are familiar with it. Unlike, you know, we did a story recently about Annihilation where they took two characters, or two of the characters were, one I think was black and one was Asian, and cast them as, you know, white females. And the person who did the writing for this movie said, well, you know, I didn't read the second book, and that's where they discussed their race. In the first book, it's not discussed at all. So he, you know, didn't do his homework on what the source material was fully, but he was making a movie out of the first book, and that's what he chose.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a case of, hey, we have two characters that are, I think one was Lara Croft's best friend and from college, and she should have been in the movie, and she's not. It's like, now you're just giving people reasons to to come down on you with criticism. It doesn't make a lot of sense from the casting point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. They had an opportunity and they basically left it on the table, which is really unfortunate. And actually, the particular article that I pulled this from, which is it actually comes off of Nerdist. It was Alicia Vikander herself who said, "There's not enough women in this movie."
When your star says that, yeah, there might be a problem.
Yep.
Yeah. So people just need to wake up and look around and see what the reality is here.
Let's see, Black Panther getting a little more news here. I'm going to butcher the character's last name, but Dora, and not Dora the Explorer, but one of the...
No, this is the group. It's the Dora Milaje.
Oh,
it's
I'm sorry, I thought it was a character name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, these are the...
The King's Guard, yeah.
King's Guard.
Yeah, the Guard, right. Yeah. Okay.
The Dora Milaje. Yeah. So they're going to be getting their own comic, which is a very cool thing.
Oh, definitely. Cause that they were probably one of the most interesting things that I saw in the movie. I want to know more about them. And I felt bad when they kind of got relegated to not really having a lot of power at the end of the movie. I thought they were going to be a bigger role.
Yeah.
But they did pull it out and do good things at the end anyways. But yeah, getting their own comic book is a big thing. I think that's awesome. Shows the power of Black Panther in the movies. Mm-hmm.
It sure does. And I, you know, I think that they were, their group was fantastic. I agree with you, Lou, that I definitely want to see more of them.
So I think it's cool that they're going to explore this in the comic. And I think it's, you know, I think it's going to be good material.
Nice. See, Deadpool is in China already. Oh, Deadpool 1 is in China. Okay. So they're kind of late to the party on this, aren't they?
A little bit.
Is that going to play well in China? I mean, are they going to get this character?
Well, it's taken them, what, almost 2 years to actually show it. So I guess we'll see. And, you know, you never know what's been edited from it because it's China and they get really weird about things.
I mean, you know, we had talked before about how China is one of the biggest markets for movies these days, and it's got a huge audience. But some movies that you think are going to do well don't. Like, for example, the Star Wars movies haven't done well because they didn't have the original Star Wars movies for so many years in China. They don't have that following. They don't have that background. Now, I don't know what kind of background they have with Marvel's comic book characters. So I don't know how this comedy is going to play. I don't know how it's going to... You know, I just don't know how that's going to work. I really don't. I don't know if they're going to accept that kind of comedy or if they're going to get that kind of comedy, you know, culturally. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, we'll see.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of it, they'll definitely get it. But the Chinese audience is just very different in terms of what they like and what they don't like. And I think part of it is cultural. I think part of it is the politics that have been inserted into their culture in a way, but they have been slowly opening the doors to a lot more Western movies. And that's, you know, I think it's a great thing. So, you know, in those terms, Deadpool's going to continue making money. So we have to go back to that movie draft.
Domestic only, Tim.
Oh, damn. You're right.
No, Tim.
Who's the cheater now, Tim?
So Wonder Woman 2 got a new casting. Explained. I'm not sure. Kristen Wiig would not be somebody I would normally picture as a villain in a fairly serious movie.
No.
But she's going to be playing Cheetah in Wonder Woman 2. I don't get this. I mean, I heard this last week and kind of scratched my head. And I went, okay, yeah, maybe. I mean, what do you think is the reason behind this casting? I mean, is this Kristen Wiig wanting to do this, or do they tap her and say, hey, we think you'd be great doing this? Tim?
I don't know, because I'm really as baffled as you are. And I like Kristen Wiig. I think she's a great actress. Yeah,
just not in this kind of role.
Yeah, this is not her genre. It really just doesn't seem to be her thing. So I think it's very interesting. I think it's a great opportunity for her. I hope that she does well with it. I mean, I personally just wouldn't wish anyone ill anyway in that regard, but I want to see Wonder Woman 2 succeed. I want to see it be just as big as the first one. And obviously you have to have a good villain to kind of help the hero story along. So I hope that this does work out.
I do too, because I like Kristen Wiig. Obviously I liked Wonder Woman. I want Wonder Woman 2 to do really well. I just hope that it's I hope she fits in with the movie. I really do. I can't see Kristen Wiig doing this. I mean, I've loved her on comedic stuff she's done. I loved her on Saturday Night Live, but I don't know.
I hope she's ready for 7 hours in the makeup chair.
Yeah.
To me, I think it's just an indication of what maybe how Patty Jenkins is going to treat that character. And I think it'll be interesting to see whether they add for a character from what I remember from the comics didn't have much of a comedic aspect to it. Are they going to try to add some of that element to it? Is that part of why, you know, trapping Wiig to do it? I don't know. But to me, it was not only for the movie, but for the role as well as Cheetah. Seemed unusual. But I mean, curious. It raised my eyebrow.
Mm-hmm. It did. And it's high profile. It's just, I don't see them putting a lot of humor into Wonder Woman 2. it would be a real departure from what Wonder Woman was. There wasn't a lot of humor there. And there's been humor in Marvel stuff and in comic stuff in general. But is there room for it in Wonder Woman? I mean, there was nothing in. I guess it was a little bit in Justice League, but.
And
I don't know.
I mean, Marvel uses it very well.
Yeah.
DC tends not to.
Yeah. Right. And that's the. And it makes me wonder, are they trying to move and have some of that shift from, you know, that dark tone that they've gone with, seeing how well Marvel has used it? But that being said, I agree with you, Lou. I don't think it really has a place in how the first Wonder Woman was done. And I think it'd be, unless really well done, could be kind of awkward.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if you did so well with the first Wonder Woman, why change your formula? Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, we're Coke. Let's go New Coke. We're what? Okay. that's out
Crystal
of the way.
Clear Pepsi.
right. see, George Lucas's Museum of Narrative Art is groundbreaking in L.A.
This?
Yeah, pretty soon that's going to happen, and that's really exciting.
Absolutely.
Last I heard, they were still looking for a place. I'm glad they finally kind of settled on one, and the controversy's kind of died down about. Anytime you want to build something, it's always like, yeah, it's great, but just don't build it here.
Yeah. And I think that all the places that he was courting, especially Chicago, were foolish to turn it down.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's a little crazy for him to end up in L.A. because L.A. is kind of a crazy place as it is with traffic and such.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, one more great attraction for them.
I was going to say, it's an area where there's already traffic there, so you're going to get more people going to it.
It's going to be interesting to see them starting construction on this soon, while LA is also preparing for Olympics in the next few years. You know, hopefully this museum gets built quickly before too much of that Olympic construction starts. And, it's going to be kind of crazy, but I definitely plan on going out there to visit it some point, because I think it's going to be fantastic.
So, yeah, it's pretty awesome looking through this. They're talking about over 100,000 square feet of gallery space, which is impressive in itself. I'm looking forward to seeing this thing built. I can't wait to see, there's going to be all kinds of drone flyovers of it being in production and being built. Looking forward to that, so. So, Tim, take us through the What Were They Thinking Weekly. We got two of them this week, and I am interested to hear your take on some of these.
I don't know why you stick me with this.
Because I know you can do it better justice than I can, and I'm ready to laugh a little bit.
All right. So the first bit of business here is that Nicolas Cage is going to be playing Superman.
It is ludicrous as that sounds. This isn't even the good one.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage, it's fairly well known that Nicolas Cage has wanted to play Superman for many years.
Right.
And he is finally getting a shot at the role. It's not what you might think. It is, in fact, going to be a voice role. He's going to be playing Superman in the Teen Titans Go movie.
Interesting.
It says here, reading this from comicbook.com, he'll be joining fellow new additions, Wonder Woman and Green Lantern. And they mention here that he's been a longtime Superman fan, and he's been attached to star and live action Superman projects before, which have died.
Thankfully. Thank God.
Thankfully. And, Nicolas Cage is one of those actors who I'm not sure it's I love to hate or hate to love. He has certain roles which are just absolutely him, and they work really well, and I like him in those movies. Probably The Rock with Sean Connery is my favorite movie that Nicolas Cage is in. I love the movie. I love his role in that movie. I think it is absolutely perfect.
He's done some great stuff. You're absolutely right. I mean, Gone in 60 Seconds was great.
Yeah. Gone 60 Seconds was good.
Yeah. But, I read this after I saw the horrible trailer for what's his new movie coming out? The Humanity Bureau. I saw that on like Apple trailers yesterday. I'm like, what is this, and this is so horrible. I couldn't even finish watching the trailer. I didn't get through a minute and a half of the trailer. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. And that's a little rough. It's going to be interesting. And you know, Nick Cage has a particular cadence and inflection to his voice too, mm-hmm. which will be interesting to see how that actually plays out as Superman. So that's yeah, that.
I bit can't, of what I can't see that, but okay. Yeah. Interesting.
The next one. I
gave this to you because I don't know even where to start.
So there's going to be, because apparently the world demanded it. I don't think they did.
Okay. So you know something about, because I don't think the world demanded this at all.
A Shia LaBeouf biopic. I don't know why this was needed in the world. I didn't mind him in the first Transformers movie. I thought he was pretty good in it. But
sure, yeah.
Beyond that, he just got weird, and there was a thing with a paper bag over his head, and
right.
I mean, John, you're good friends with him, aren't you?
No.
No? Oh, okay. Not that you'll admit to any. He stopped making the payments.
I'm not even going to go so far as to think he was good in the first Transformers movie. I don't think he's good at all.
He's definitely an interesting personality. So the biopic, they have a writer for it.
Right, they do. Which adds to the absurdness of this whole story.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah, the screenwriter for the Shia LaBeouf biopic is Shia LaBeouf.
Interesting.
Well, no. Actually, it was Otis Lort was the person who wrote it.
Huh.
Later to be revealed that was actually Shia LaBeouf. I'm like, oh my god,
I missed that part.
It says the script was written by the mysterious Otis Lort, which is an anagram for List Root, which I don't know why that needs to be there. It says, but that's neither here nor there. LaBeouf revealed in Esquire this past week that he was indeed the mysterious Lort. So he wrote this under a pen name, submitted it. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And the article here from Den of Geek is They're really kind with the introduction here, saying actor turned performance artist Shia LaBeouf. Okay, if that's what you want to call him, or you know that's what he wants to call himself, just like amazing that someone, and I don't even think that it's anything that like happened. Like he just did this to himself, this like torpedoing of his career.
Yeah.
It's not like there was a sex scandal or anything to that extent. It's just,
he just went off the deep end. He did
weird stuff.
Yeah, and, exactly. Yeah. And you know, I don't know what's funnier about this, that the name of the movie is called Honey Boy. I don't know where that comes from.
Apparently the nickname given to him by his father.
Okay.
And apparently much of this movie is actually focused on the relationship between him and his father.
Right.
Who was an alcoholic, and there were some issues with that. So, sure.
Yeah. I mean, the opening line of this story on Den of Geek is, add this to the long list of real world headlines. It seems like it generated by The Onion. I'm like, yeah, it does. It really, really does.
But yeah. Tim,
oh boy,
Tim, how much are you going to spend on it in the movie draft?
Yeah, I was just going to say, opening weekend predictions. What do you got?
$5 is what it's going to go. Is going to be the box office take. So. As far as what I'm going to spend on it in the draft, nothing. I will, however, try to bid Liz up.
Oh, boy. Well, I think that's about all we got for you guys this week. It was a fun episode to talk about some of the stuff we had, and painful to talk about some of the stuff we had. Shia LaBeouf. honey boy. Anyway,
you know, I realized that I said boobs on the episode. Is that okay? Is Eric going to yell at me for saying boobs?
He might. You said it two more times now, so he might yell at you two more times too.
I mean, it was a legitimate conversation.
It was until you brought it up again. Yeah. Now, okay. I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm just making sure.
Okay. If you have any feedback for us, you want to ask Tim if he wants to say boobs again, you can send us an email. Randomchatter@randomchatter.com is the best way to get hold of
it. Not that I said it in a gratuitous fashion.
No, you didn't. In fact, when you
talked about very scientific.
When you wanted to see, you know, a curvy actress on screen, you weren't saying boobs. You were just talking about the physique of the actress.
I think actually now Lou has said it more times than I have.
Probably. No, I think I'm still behind you.
Eric, for the record, I didn't say it at all.
Didn't say what?
Didn't say what?
That word. Boobs.
Okay, John is smarter than us because we would have fallen for that. You can also find us online. You can catch us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. You can find us on Twitter. The show is on Twitter at Random Chatter. I am on Twitter at Lou Secchi. That's LouSecki. When Lizzie's around, you can see her on Twitter. She's at Nerd in the City. Tim, where are people finding you on Twitter?
At Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
And John, where can they find you on Twitter?
At the John Stewart, THEJONSTEWART.
Nice. You can also find us on Instagram. We do have a new Instagram account for the network. It's just at Random Chatter. You can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. Be sure to listen to our other shows. We have a whole bunch of new stuff coming out. Please go over to the network and check out all the shows and go back weekly because we're adding new shows almost daily, I think, aren't we, Tim? It's crazy. It seems that way.
They'll give anyone a show now.
Yeah, the pretty much, yeah. The pace isn't set. My dog is actually going to start a show pretty soon. John, I'm going to let you take this next one. Because you're completely unprepared for it, so I'm going to put you on the spot.
Doesn't have the show notes open.
I do have the show notes open.
Okay.
So, Tim normally is the one asking for people to spread the word. It does make a difference. Going to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you tell your and get your downloads from, go ahead, leave a review. 5 stars is great. Put a comment in is even better. Tell your friends about it. As you go to see Infinity War in a few weeks, as you go and see Black Panther yet again, see people who wear t-shirts like Marvel, spread the word and continue to get more people listening to the network as we continue to add shows about a variety of topics.
So pretty much going with what John said, if people don't wear t-shirts, they are not welcome to listen to us. That's a rabbit hole. I'm not going to.
Tim, don't talk about boobs again.
So I was just saying, are we looking for shirtless people to listen to our shows?
We also appreciate some financial support. Basically, that is the support that keeps us going and keeps the lights on around here. We have web hosting fees and data storage fees and all sorts of other things that we have to pay for being an organization. And of course, those costs kind of grow with us as the network has been growing. We've been getting some more shows out to you. So if you like what you're listening to, and if you are financially able to do so, you know, make it rain, folks. It could even be $1 a month, which you might not think is, you know, really making it rain, but trust me, it helps. It's, you know, crowdsourcing. So you get a bunch of people that can contribute $1 a month, which is the minimum, over at randomchatter.com/Patreon. And that is a huge help to us. So for every donation that you give to us, we also give something back to you. So just for that $1 a month, you get access to our Discord community. And going up from there, $5 a month, $10 a month, et cetera, you get access to our bonus crap. What did I call it, Lou?
Bonus segment.
Yes, yes. So you get access to the bonus segment or the BS.
Or Tim's BS, yep.
Which is the stuff that we record kind of before we jump into actually recording the show. It's some, you know, random banter about whatever may have been going on in the day, or you get a little peek behind the curtain as we're kind of setting up for the show and talking about some of the topics, or maybe even talking about topics that we're not going to mention. So, you know, that's a lot of fun there. Certainly Discord, that dollar a month is a great value because you could spend your entire day on Discord and really not get any work done at all. Guilty. Yeah. yeah. So, but you can also get into a little bit of Discord for free. The great thing is with Discord is that we have a public lobby where kind of everyone gets to hang out. We have all of our hosts and we have a lot of listeners just hanging out in that public lobby of Discord. And you kind of get a chance to see if you like it, if you like the conversation, you like the people there. Hopefully you kind of feel to be, you know, one of us. And if you do like it, it's kind of your opportunity to sample it. You can then go over to randomchatter.com/Patreon and you can sign up there to become a donor. So just a dollar a month again will get you into the full version of Discord. So you get access to all the different channels in there. We talked earlier about the collecting channel. So you would have access to that. You would have access to a channel, all the channels for the different shows that we have. So for Random Chatter and Echo Base and Movie Rampage. And Lou, what was the one you just did?
The Tight Beam for the Expanse show?
Yes, that yes, one right
that's
there.
That's the one. Our newest show, pretty much, which will be newest until like tomorrow when another new show premieres. But yeah, we just recorded episode one. We had episode zero out about a week or so ago. And we're yep. really excited to talk about The Expanse coming up.
Yeah.
If you're not watching that show, go watch it.
I'm still guilty. I have to go watch it. And then we have channels in there for different movies, and there's one for Infinity War. In fact, I think there's two for Infinity War. There's a spoiler channel and a regular discussion channel. It's a lot of fun. It's there's always something going on in there every single day. And it's, yeah, it's a good time. So randomchatter.com/Patreon. We definitely appreciate your support. It's a huge help to us. randomchatter.com/Discord. Join us and chat with us every day and give us some good feedback. The music you hear on Random Chatter is The Perfect Heist by Blue Staly. Lou.
Yes.
Take us out of here.
I will do that. Everybody, thanks for listening. It's been really fun talking to you guys again this week, and we'll do it again in another week. Take care.